and welcome to Crew Call, the Below the Line podcast by, for, and about the crew. All right, today we have a fun one. We have a stunt woman. Her name is Anna Mercedes Morris, and we're really happy that she was able to take the time out of her busy schedule to chat with us and let you guys hear her crazy life of being a stunt woman. And exciting, I might add, too. So, Anna, when did you get started in the business?
I got started when I was, doing stunts, technically 18, 19. I began my journey by being a horse wrangler at the Wild West Stunt Show at Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida. And since I was wrangling at a show that had all stunt people working at it, they picked up that not only did I ride horses, but I also was a cheerleader and all these other fun things that kind of aided in my ability to become a stunt woman. And they are the ones who suggested, hey, you should be a stunt woman. I said, what? You guys make a living off doing this stuff? I'm like, all right, sure, I'll give it a go. So I started training with them, and I just continued into the live show circuit. And that's kind of where it all started. And I fell in love after that. Ever since then, I've just been a burning passion.
Show or movie that you did stunts?
It was for Nickelodeon on those. There's a show called Tyena, and I doubled the lead, Tyena. She had a rollerblading scene, and I actually had to double her doing some rollerblading stuff. She was like a catering rollerblader, and so I flipped over and kind of fell into a big punch bowl, and crap went everywhere. Ta-da! First job.
Yay! Woo! So now, there are so many different things that you have to do when it comes to stunts. Do you go and take special classes and courses and training to do some of the things that you do?
There's so many variations. We get asked to do some of the most ridiculous things ever. Some things that which you don't think are humanly possible until you actually do them and you go, wow, I just did that. And the fact that somebody as a director or writer wrote them in the script in the first place, you're just like, okay, I don't know who's crazier, me or the person who wrote the stunt. So, the ground training from live shows kind of really set foot with being able to transition into doing film and television because of the fact that we're asked to do so many just crazy things. When you're doing live shows, we actually have to do the same show repetitiously multiple times throughout the day. So you get really good at knowing air sense, body sense, how well you fall, where do you fall. And over time, you're able to recreate that with a moment's notice, which is exactly what we have to do on film and television. You hope to get an actual stunt in one shot. So being able to know that, I think the training from a live show has been the best utilized training that I've ever had with pursuing into film and television.
But like, do you take like fight classes, stage fight classes? You already were a horseback rider. Did you take anything for like rappelling or firearms, shooting guns?
Because I went from riding horses to, and it's funny that you say rappelling and shooting a gun, my very next kind of first live show job was actually the Sarah Connor at Terminator. So I got trained to rappel and to shoot guns there. We actually shot modified AR-15s that are fully automatic because we're in Florida and in the South, they allow you to do that.
Yeah.
So I learned from that because I was training for the live show. So that's where I got that training. So, which, like I said, I feel like the live show is such a utilized training ground. The other only outside training that I've really ever done beyond that is I did take a course there in Los Angeles, and I did a tactical training course, and it was a 2-day course. And within 8 hours, all of us were clearing houses, which is actually more training than what LAPD goes through.
Wow.
So, I paid to, we had a good buddy of ours that was a part of the stunt community that had an in with those people. So we were able to do that.
That's awesome. Now, didn't you do some gymnastics or aerial work?
So I started with the aerial stuff with Pirate Center Adventure. I learned from Gaynor Johnson, who she was my mentor all through aerial training. She worked at the Wild West Stunt Show as a mall hopper, and she came from Ringling Brothers for many, many years. I'm going to say her entire life. And so that was kind of my next stepway into performing live, was doing aerial work for her under her supervision and teaching. And that's kind of how I learned the aerial stuff.
Here's a question. What is your... Is there a specific name for stunts, like the stunt department? When you go on set and when you're working on set, is there like, do you have a department name, or is it just you're the stunt woman for the day?
There's stunt department, and then encased in the stunt department is the stunt coordinator. And then you will be labeled on the call sheet as utility stunt, ND stunt, which means nondescript, or stunt double. Or if there's actually a player that you're actually playing, then they'll put actually stunt zombie or stunt vamp one, which is what they did for me on Vampire Diaries just recently.
So now what's like a typical day for you? Can you walk us through, let's say you just did Vampire Diaries. So let's walk through what you did as stunt vamp number two.
Well, luckily stunt vamp number two, I show up to set and they take me over to hair and makeup. And so hair and makeup will take a look at me depending on what the look that they were looking for, which I have no idea what that might be. I just show up and they'll do my hair a certain way if the director had an idea of what that should be. And then I'll go back into my dressing room and wait for them to call me to set. And for the most part, I'll have like an idea of what stunt I might be doing. So then I'll just kind of typically put elbows and knees on if it allows for my wardrobe to wear elbows and knees. Mm-hmm. If not, I will typically wait to put the pads on until I get the set. And then we get to set. A lot of times they'll have on the schedule whether or not we have a rehearsal or not. Sometimes we'll rehearse before we have to actually get into full wardrobe. So it depends. But on the stunt vamp day, since we were doing a lot more acting than actually action, we went to set in full wardrobe. They put teeth in and... there you go. We kind of waited for the van that was fake driving to be ready.
Now, Anna, when they hire you, do they tell you what you're going to be doing, or is it all like you just find out when you get there?
It really depends on the stunt coordinator and on the stunt. If it's nothing out of the ordinary of the realm of what a basic stunt woman should be able to do on a regular basis, you're not going to get told what you're doing, because the coordinator is going to have an idea that you should be prepared enough to come to set to do what he's going to ask you to do.
Okay.
If it's anything that's really super involved, they're going to ask you before they hire you and say, are you comfortable with this?
Okay.
You know, what's your qualifications in doing, you know, driving a car, or, you know, the times that I've been asked to do any horse stuff. That would definitely, obviously I got called because I have a horse experience background, but I still had to kind of go out to the coordinator's property to still kind of rehearse a little bit before I even got the set. So that doesn't happen too often, but for the most part, there's so many times, especially for television, anything on television, they just kind of will say, if you're available, good. Here's your time. Come to set. And people are like, what are you doing today? And I'm like, I don't know. I'll know when I get there.
So you were telling us about like, when you get there and you get to wardrobe, and then if you have like the room to put the pads underneath your clothing, you can or not. So, of course, women's clothing, some costumes are going to be more like tight fitting and revealing because you're a woman, correct? So, does that make your job harder than men?
Well, us women have, depending on what our outfit really is, have kind of devised a way of being able to conceal pads.
Okay.
And so we have little tricks of the trade that a lot of us girls have shared amongst the industry, and gets handed down by veteran stunt women, and even then by certain coordinators that might know if you've worked with other coordinators that know different tricks, which we have ice skating pads that have nude body socks that go over them to hide them. let me tell you, the world of Spanx has been an innovation for the women of stunts. That lady has no idea what she has done for us because she has created a way to conceal more pads than not. Spanx are my best friend. I go to Marshalls and I stock up on them, and people think I'm crazy because I'm not big enough to wear Spanx, but I have them for me. I have them for my actress. They're the best thing to hide the back pads, the hip pads. And I mean, I've been able to be fully padded in a strapless mini dress.
Wow.
Up through above my knee. And I had to do a huge fall and hit to the ground. And I had a huge back pad on, hip pads, but a tailbone and everything. And no one would have known the wiser.
Wow. So, I hear sponsorship.
Yeah, right? I know. I need to be a part of her $1 million club, right?
Okay, now, what are the most difficult stunts and what are the easier stunts to do?
I don't want to say they're easy to difficult.
Okay.
Because honestly, I think, I want to say, just for me, this is my, you know, totally my take on it. I enjoy the whole aspect of what stunts is all about, which is not just us, you know, doing these crazy, awesome stunts that, you know, people see on the big screen and go, oh my God, that was so awesome. You know, guys walking away from fire and things blowing up.
Yeah.
But I feel like the relationship that we gain with our actresses and being able to, the full picture, always the big picture when we go to set is to get the director what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they want to, they don't always want to see the stunt person. So we're going to do the best we can to get what they want. And if that includes, you know, helping the actress to feel confident and rehearsing a stunt and a gag, even though it might not be anything too crazy, well enough for the actress to feel comfortable to do it, because the director is always going to want to be able to get good shots of the actress's face and her kind of seeming like she's doing it. So, like I said, I don't want to say difficult, tough, but, you know, easy, because of course it's going to seem like, oh, an easy day is when we get to help the actress do the stunt, because we're not physically hitting the ground.
Right.
But I feel like that's a huge part of what we do in our business, is that making them feel comfortable and getting the director his shots that he wants, because that's what we're there for, is to create the big picture, no matter what it is. And mm-hmm. So that's why I don't really want to say it's easier or more difficult. It's just is what it is.
It's different all the time.
It's always different.
Do you have any influence on the stunts that you do or how you do it? Or is that really the coordinators? You just have to listen to what the coordinator says? Or can you give them like, okay, I think it would be easier to, or I think I could, you know.
You know, I because a lot of the coordinators are men that I look up to and admire, and what their background of their entire career.
Mm-hmm.
So I will always come to set and I'm open ears, because they've obviously been in the business much longer than I have. So I'm all about, you know, listening. And with all the great coordinators that I have worked with in, you know, in the past, that when it really comes down to it, there definitely has been a collaboration to where they've asked, how do you feel? Are you comfortable? And then they will ask, you know, if that's good. But I first off will listen to them, because a lot of these guys really know what they're doing and really know how to make a stellar stunt. And then, you know, if they can communicate it properly. And then, you know, if it becomes something that's a little bit more difficult where it's more my judgment, then it's great to have them help me and we come to collectively together to create what we need to create.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you work together with them. That's awesome. Now, how about the actors that you double? How is the relationship between you and those actors?
You know, I just feel that I don't really treat them with kid gloves. I just treat them like a human being.
Okay.
Because they are a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And they put their pants on the same way we do. So I think it's all in just being a positive energy to them and letting them know as actresses that we're not there as a threat. We're there to make them look good.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never had an issue with any actress that I've ever doubled. I've had great relationships with every actress. They've all been awesome. They've been like little mini cheerleaders off to the side when I'm doing the stunt. And then if they're doing it and they're doing part of it, then I'm off to the side being little cheerleaders for them as well. And, you know, it's been great. I have not yet had a bad experience, knock on wood, with any actresses. I make it my job to make them feel comfortable with me. And so if I feel that they're not feeling very comfortable, I'll definitely do my best as a person, as a human being, to relate with them better so that we can get what we need to get done.
So in speaking about that, now you have to kind of mimic them, don't you, when you're doing the scene. So how do you learn how to do that? Or is the director just directing you? Because you have to be pretty much, they got to do the same thing as you.
I just watch them. Especially when we're in the hair and makeup trailer earlier, you know, in the day, when I see them getting into the van and kind of how I see them move and walk. And a lot of times maybe they'll shoot the scene right before the scene that I might be a part of, so I can see how they move, how they react. Okay. And I just do my best to make sure that I see how she's taking it, and I will match exactly how she's doing it. Because a lot of times actresses that I double, just in, you know, my career, has just been girls who are not trained to be MMA fighters. So a lot of times I can't act like I know all the skills that I know. I have to kind of move like just an average person who is in a situation that's unpleasant. So okay. I have to mimic however they do it.
Okay.
And by watching them on set is the best way to do it. Kind of how they body stand, how they move, how they stand, how they kind of just stand there posture wise.
So we have a listener. His name is Brandon, and here's something that he would like to know. He asks, are there any particular stars you would like to work with, or a character that you would like to portray in future action scenes? Also, what are some of the perks and pitfalls of being a stuntwoman?
Wow, this is a loaded question. You have a lot on your mind there, buddy.
So we'll go first with what actor would you like to double?
I've actually met Michelle Rodriguez, but I would love to actually work with her, because I have met her, and she's awesome. And I know in Fast Six that her and Gina Carano did a fight together, and I actually did a fight with Gina Carano. And so I think Sylvester Stallone is trying to do an all women's Expendables of some sort, but ooh. I think it would be really great to kind of work with a collective amount of girls like Gina Carano, Michelle Rodriguez, in doing, you know, a pretty good kick butt girl movie.
That would be fun. Okay. So what kind of, would that be the kind of character that you would like to do? Like, let's say they gave you a role. Is that the kind of character that you would want ultimately?
Yeah, pretty much.
A good guy or a bad guy?
I think we'd all like to be warriors for good. I mean, I'm definitely always a person of needing to be positive. You know, there's a lot of cynical stuff that happens in the world. And so it's always going to make you feel good after you go home with a day of work when you feel like you've conquered evil.
Right. So you'll be Xena the next.
I'm Hermione.
Yeah. Yeah, really mini.
Yeah, because she's a little bit taller than me. So I'll be Xena's micro mini warrior.
There you go. So what are some of the perks and pitfalls of being a stuntwoman?
To say that I love my job every day is a perk. So that might not be for everybody, though. That's on the opinion of, you know, on the opinion of whoever. So and then the pitfalls, you know, there's always going to be pitfalls. But if you love something enough, that you're going to see through all those, and you got to make lemonade out of lemons, right?
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about fight scenes. What is the process from the script to rehearsal to actually filming it?
Yeah, I can use my best example I can use for that is when I worked on Drag Me to Hell, and we got the storyboard first, to be honest. And so we had these pictures of what the angle of the shots were going to be for the fight between Miss Ganoush and the lead actress in the car scene. And I have to say, it was pretty funny because me and the other stunt girl, Lisa Hoyle, we sat in the car with these with these pictures going in the car. We were like, he goes, work out the fight, and here's the picture. And we were laughing at the pictures, I think, for an hour because they were so funny. It involved, you know, staplers and all kinds of every other, and a ruler and every other office supply possible. So we took the fight from there. We did what we thought we could do. They came back and kind of saw what we had worked out, loved it or hated it, and then kind of decided whether or not that was good or not. And so then we kind of went from there. We kind of just evolved the fight from after what was on the storyboard.
Was there any coordinator for that job? Because it sounds like you kind of came up with your own thing.
No, there was a coordinator there. He kind of went over it with us, like what he wanted to see. So then he left us to kind of work it out. And so we worked it out. We showed him. He came back a little bit later and was like, what do you guys got? And we did it. And he's like, yeah, that's good. Keep working on it. You know, and it kind of just built from there. And, you know, that was like a month out from us shooting it. But that's on a feature film. And that doesn't always happen like that. A lot of times when it comes to television, we get called, we get the set. We actually have to just read the description of the fight in the sides. And then the coordinator will come to us and say, so did you read the sides? And depending on the coordinator, he'll say, so what do you think? What are you thinking? And other coordinators will say, this is what I was thinking. You know, how does that work for you? Or, you know, so that we can kind of create that. A lot of times, a lot of coordinators will already have what they have vision because they've talked to the director. So the director, he's just kind of passing along what the director wants to see. Mm-hmm. And so we, you know, we'll listen and just go, yeah, okay, you got it. And so just make it happen to what, according to how they want to see it.
Now, you recently moved from L.A. to Atlanta. Do you see that a lot of people are moving away from California? And is that because more productions are going away?
Well, it's always going to be driven by money. And so it has to do with cost and cost effectiveness. So I think we're one of the last industries and you didn't have to move where the work was, except for going to Hollywood. That was like the big move for anyone who wanted to be in movies was to go to Hollywood.
Right.
And now that everything's dispersing from Hollywood, I think we're one of the last industries to really have to start going along that lines of moving where the work is as a whole. Because now instead of it being just the one hub, now it's spread globally and multiple cities across the United States. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good change only because of the fact that I know for me it was good because I'm closer to my family. I'm from Florida, was born in Charlotte, North Carolina, raised in Florida. My family's on the East Coast, and the 12 years I was in California, I saw my family like twice. So for me, it's good. I like it because I'm back closer to my family and I can still do the job that I've been wanting, you know, have been doing my whole life. So.
Oh, that's good. I like the South. I like to be able to move away. So I think it's kind of nice that, you know, you guys get to move around. Actually, I think that's pretty cool. Okay. Is life different for stuntmen as opposed to stunt women? Or are there challenges unique to men and women?
Yeah, it's pretty different. Majority of men get to wear lots of clothes when they fall down, and we wear half nothing when we fall down.
Yeah. Spanx.
You get a wardrobe on one hanger, and guys get like six hangers because they get pants, a shirt, a long shirt, a jacket.
Right.
Boots. We get a thin dress hanging on a very thin lingerie hanger.
Yay.
Short, and you're like, here's your wardrobe. By the way, you're doing a stairfall today. Oh, wait. Did we tell you it's actually not carpeted? Which would maybe, I mean, I don't know what's better is concrete burns from concrete stairs or rug burns with carpeted stairs.
Oh, it's all bad.
Oh.
It's all bad.
It's all awesome in a day's work. And then Epsom salt. We have stock in Epsom salt.
Right. Let's go to another listener. Kate asks, since you have to prove yourself physically, do you find there is more or less sexism than in other areas of the business?
No, not really. It's about equal in every aspect of business, even in ours.
Okay.
I know it sounds silly, but yeah.
In what way would you say?
Well, it kind of works the same way as it does in every other industry, really. You know, there's always going to be those people that have really good morals, and there's other people that don't, no matter what industry you're in. So you can't divert from those people. So you just kind of dodge and weave your way through life, and no matter what career you're in.
Since the time you started out, how has the industry changed? Has it changed for your department or are there any technologies that have changed it, made it easier or harder?
Yeah, I definitely have seen an improvement. I want to say, because I have done mocap stuff, which, I mean, obviously that wasn't around when I first started. And on top of that, the cameras, the type of cameras that were being used when I first got in, the technology of the cameras have changed. So now you're able to shoot different stunts at different speeds because of digital. And so it really, it has evolutionized our industry. And I think for the better. I know a lot of times people thought that, oh, the new technology was going to replace the stuntman. But no matter what, with everything that's going on nowadays, even with Spider-Man, Ninja Turtles, everything that's out there, all of that has been done with actual real stuntmen in motion capture outfits with little dots on them. So that
right.
what you're seeing at computer generation is actually the real stuntman doing it.
Yes.
So I think no matter what, the human has to always help the computer no matter what. So I think it's been good. I think it creates a cool environment now. I mean, obviously, look at the new movies that we have out that weren't that way before. So
Anna, what would you suggest to someone who's just starting out in the business, who wants to be a stuntwoman? What do they need to know? Who do they need to know, more importantly?
Honestly, I think for the most part, it has to be something that you really, really feel passionate about. Because there's going to be lows that are really low. And I know it seems glamorous and it seems all fancy, but it's a lot of hard work. And if you really, really have the heart and dedication to want to put forth the hard work and see it through during the lows and be able to push forward when you're challenged, then I say go for it. And it's a matter of training in all areas because we get asked to do some of the silliest things.
Right.
I'd say invest in a treadmill and some stiletto heels and tape them to your ankles and run every day. That's totally
wow.
kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Oh, look at me. I'm all, really? Wow. I want to see you do that.
I'm just kidding. But all jokes aside, I've had been asked to have to do some crazy stuff in stiletto heels. And I think it's really funny where, to almost do a stunt woman boot camp with a bunch of girls running on treadmills with mini skirts.
So my last question, which is what we ask everyone, if you were the queen of Hollywood, what would you do differently in the industry?
Wow. Well, because normally I only consider myself a princess, not a queen.
Okay. Okay. Well, you just graduated from princess to queen.
I think Hollywood's already headed in the right direction because there's more females that are directing and coordinating and being a more known power in Hollywood, because we obviously have had several women win Academy Awards for directing. And I think it's not really for anything that I want to change, but I want to say that continue that ongoing.
All right. Fair enough, Anna. Fair enough. Great. Lovely. Anna, awesome. So thank you so much for taking this hour of your time to give us a little interview.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, dear.
Bye. Have a good one.
Okay, you too. Good night.
Bye.
And that's it for Crew Call. If you'd like to support the podcast, remember to click the Amazon link on the Tapple website before you go shopping. It doesn't cost you anything, and Amazon gives us a little kickback. Everyone wins. And if you like what you've heard, please consider leaving us a review on iTunes. Good or bad, we really appreciate the feedback. Thanks again to Anna for telling us about being a stuntwoman. Tune in next time for a stunt rigger and an owner of Action Factory, a full stunt services company, Joe Ross.